Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alrighty, third hour here on this Monday. Get ready for a little Monday doubleheader. Chiefs of the Bills coming up in a few minutes. Cards in Dallas. Andy Dalton. And we're coming from our studios here, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. We'll get with Joel Klatt in a little bit here, college sports analyst for Fox. And what else do we have? You know, the thing, I know we're going to do this next segment, but I think this is such an interesting game for the Bills, because when you're one of these teams that is, you know, on the course to maybe do something special or semi-special, but you're not there regularly, you know, it takes a leap of faith from the football community. You have to really watch them play. Mm-hmm. It takes a leap of faith from everybody else to say, well, do I believe in this team? They've only been to the playoffs once or twice in 20 years. You know, you kind of like get that stuff. You get that with the Browns too. You get that when the Dolphins have the occasional good season. The team I don't talk about had the occasional good season. But like the Bills to me tonight, like I actually think Kansas City's going to stomp them.
Really?
I do. I laid the 5.5, and I laid it with great confidence.
Well, yeah.
I think the Bills are very banged up. My point being,
they do, and their defense is a little bit overrated.
And Kansas City's had a little time, you know. Mm-hmm. I think when you look at this, and if the Bills were to play very poorly, now if they lose by 6 or 7, it's a tight game. No big deal. But if they had a really uneven, sloppy game, that stunts, in my opinion, at least for now,
progress. Yeah,
all of that positive energy that we have bestowed, the praise that they earned, but that would have to stop and then have to earn it again. If from my point of view, pertaining to the Bills,
I think this is an important game for them. Like how they rebound from losing, and especially in the manner with, I mean, Tennessee just wiped them up, man. It was gross that loss last weekend. So Their rebound is also important. The Bills, you know, and that's going to define some character on this team, particularly their leaders.
Well, they're getting ready to start, so we'll keep an eye on this. And we'll get back to this after this segment, but we got a chance to jump back into the college football waters. Unless it was a long time ago, and I'm just forgetting, I don't know if we've ever had this gentleman on our show, and he's very good. He's with Fox, so that's probably why they don't let him out of the stable, unless he's pushing something. And he's pushing something, but he's also going to be pushing some college football. That's Joel Klatt. Who I think comes across as incredibly intelligent on the air, and all his analysis is top shelf. Also seems like a regular guy could have a beer with. Joel, Tiki, and Tierney, how you doing today, man? What's happening?
Good, fellas. What's going on, man? Happy to be with you.
Yeah, no.
And I like Tiki. I like the way he bridged good and fellas together. It made it seem like good fellas instead of good fellas. Good fellas. I like that, Joel. You know how to do it.
There we go.
I got to see that movie. I haven't seen it in a really long time. Yeah. Joel, I got to ask you about this. I mean, BT was joking with you that you're pushing something, but this is really interesting. I know you're not joking, but Pass Labs, this QB Pass Lab. Who is this for? Is this for high school kids, college kids? It helps them explain it, first of all, and then tell us, you know, how did this come about? It's really interesting.
Yeah, so my partner is a guy named Dave Churchman, and he's from the Boulder area, and he developed this technology that basically you can put this device on your head and then attach it to software, and it tells you exactly kind of where you're looking and where that is pointing, you know, and it's fairly simple technology, but to be honest with you, you know, there was this application for a quarterback in order to train the eyes and where the head position needs to go in order to be looking in the right spot on the field. And he wanted a partner, was in the Boulder area, and he went to Bill McCartney first, the legendary coach of the Colorado Buffaloes. And Bill was like, hey, man, you don't want me. You want Joel. So he called me up and was like, hey, what do you think of this? And I immediately knew that it was important because here's the thing, Tiki, and you've been around football your entire life.
Yep.
We train all the time, our minds and our bodies, don't we?
Yep.
Our minds and our bodies, we train it constantly. And for a quarterback, as you know, as a defensive back, one of the biggest tools at a quarterback's disposal are his eyes.
Yeah.
And yet, we never train quarterbacks how to use their eyes as a weapon. This device allows you to do that, and it's not just theory or a stripe on the helmet that you can watch the film and say, hey, where were you looking here or there? It's not hearsay. It's not a conversation after the practice. It's real time, measured by the software, where their eyes were, and then you can also program it to know your playbook, to go through the play sequence and practice. So to answer your question, it's for all ages, man. If you're a junior high, you know, quarterback and you and your dad are out there and you want to train your eyes, you can put this device on your head. If you're a college quarterback, you can use it during practice and you can program the entire practice script and it'll tell you exactly where you need to be looking and for what amount of time. So I think that's my favorite part about it is that we can really train quarterbacks to use what I think is one of the most important weapons that they have, which is their eyes.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It sounds like there's also applications. Like, so if you pull it off your head and put it more around your eye, say in an eyeglass, you know, I don't know, presentation, baseball player, but kids playing baseball could do this as well. Cause where you keep your head, you know, is often determines, you know, hitting a ball and missing it. You know, all sports have this issue. You know what I mean?
That's exactly right. And it's one thing that we don't talk about a lot. So I jumped at the opportunity to be a part of it and help build the software and the app so that it's easy for coaches. Because here's the deal. My brother's a head football coach in high school. My dad was a head football coach for 30 years. Like, I understand the pains for coaches that are like, what's this new piece of equipment? I don't know how to work it. Yeah. So we wanted to make this kind of like an Apple phone. You pull it out of the box, it just works. That's what this does. The software just works. You can use it right away.
So we're talking to Joel Klatt from Fox, and it's a cool endeavor. And
yeah,
the
by
next
the way,
wave,
let me give you the site for people who want to check this out for your kids. It's qb-passlab.com.
Okay, we'll tweet that out, Joel. We'll see. We'll see if the interview goes well, we'll tweet it out, and if not, we won't.
I love it. Listen, that's smart. You know, you got to keep me on the
earn it, bro.
Cues here. That's right. Let's see if the information is good. You be the judge. Let's go. Here we go.
Okay, so I want to know, besides Alabama and Clemson, and listen, Ohio State gets back on the field, Ohio State's going to be awesome, but like, Teague and I just spent a good 15, 20 minutes. Notre Dame has 6 points late in the third quarter against an average to bad Louisville team. UNC's in the top five. They play Florida State team that's in complete disarray. They lose. Like, where else do we invest the energy? Who else do we need to circle besides Clemson and Clemson? And Alabama. Like, who else is there, Joel?
Well, I'm going to be in Columbus this week, and so I can't wait to see Ohio State. I think that they're talented enough to be right in there on that tier, but we're going to have to see them play, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited to see them, and in particular their quarterback, Justin Fields. But you bring up a great point. You know, when I'm doing my poll and I'm throwing the top 10 teams out there, I put Notre Dame at 4, and I don't feel that great about it because of the things you just mentioned. They didn't play well against Louisville. They should have handled Louisville to a far better degree than they were able to do. I landed at Georgia at 5. It's like they lost, and you feel like they need to move down. And frankly, the lack of experience that they have at the quarterback position and the wide receiver position is really why they lost that game. There was a 5-minute stretch right there at the end of the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter, where they went from being up 24-20 to down 41-24. And it was literally three different plays that they didn't connect: quarterback, wide receiver communication, quarterback, receiver timing. And then a receiver just has the ball go off his hands and it's an interception. Those three plays, boom, the game is blown wide open. So I think Georgia's probably right there. And then here's some teams that I think are a wait and see. Penn State, maybe a wait and see, guys. I don't know what Penn State's going to bring to the table, but I think that they're talented. And then Oklahoma State. I think Oklahoma State is a sneaky team. And the reason is because they've got two of the better skill position players in the entire country. Chuba Hubbard, their running back, Tylan Wallace, their wide receiver. They've been playing very well. And their first game, which everyone wrote them off because they were like, you're struggling with Tulsa. And I understand that. But now all of a sudden, Tulsa is a pretty good team. So Oklahoma State could be right there as well.
Wait a sec, Joel. I'm not saying the Cowboys aren't, and Tig and I were talking about them the other day, but by injecting Tulsa into the conversation and using them, and I'm not saying that they're not a good team. I don't disagree with that, but if that's supposed to support the argument, that seems a little flimsy this year, my man. You know what I'm saying? So, like Tulsa.
Listen, you bring up great points. Here, let me push back on this though. Okay. Isn't that more of a you problem than a them problem? Yeah. And here's why I say that. Yeah. You see, I think that the college football playoff, while interesting, has actually the unintended consequences have hurt the sport because the bar has been raised to a point where if you're not in the playoff, or you're not at the top end of the playoff and winning the national championship, then we just want to write you off and say, like, well, you're no good to begin with.
It's a good point. Reality, that's good.
There are great achievements going on all the time. Here, let me give you an example of one, all right? Let me give you – and this is a really good one.
BYU?
BYU is doing some great things. But in history, how many times do you think Notre Dame has won 10 or more games in a season? Like, how many seasons in a row? Do you think Notre Dame has won 10 or more games in a year? How many consecutive seasons?
Three.
No,
that's
it's got to be.
That's the answer.
Is it really?
It's got to be more than that.
That is the answer. The longest stretch that they've ever gone is 3 years.
Wow.
So they just had 3 years. If they were to win 10 games, and who knows with the COVID year, if they were to win 10 games this year, they would have done something that has never been done before in the history of their program. And this is one of the blue bloods, right? This is Notre Dame. This is the Four Horsemen. This is New Rockne. This is everything that you would think is great about college football. And I bring that up only to say, like, what Notre Dame is doing right now is really good. Brian Kelly has them playing at a very high level, in particular for their history. And yet we tend to minimize that in our analysis of Notre Dame currently because we don't feel like they can beat Clemson or Alabama. That might be unfair to Notre Dame to a certain extent. And we fall into this trap all the time when we're talking about, like, well, who else can go to the playoff? And anyone that can't is all of a sudden no good.
It's a unique way to look at it.
No.
Yeah, I was going to read. It's Joel Klatt, by the way, from Fox, and a great analyst with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
And Joel, we were talking about Notre Dame earlier, and they were devastated by the coronavirus for a couple of weeks. And so, unlike, say, Alabama, who when their star wide receiver or running back or offensive lineman goes down, there's a five-star who comes in and fills his spot and might be better than the guy that was starting, even if that guy that was starting is going to go to the NFL next year. Notre Dame doesn't have that luxury. It's not, you don't get the, you know, the five stars as backups coming just because, right? It's the guy, it's the really good player, you know, from, I don't know, wherever, California, who wasn't super highly recruited, but was really good. You want to come walk on and be there, right? That's what happens at Notre Dame. So they don't have the depth to suffer through what's going on in our country right now. You know, which brings us to a couple of other schools. Virginia Tech was interesting because of how they've managed to win. They're 2-1 or 3-1. I think they're 2-1 on the season. But they missed games. There's games where there's like 20 kids that aren't playing. Like, how are they possible? How do you possibly do that?
It has been a journey, to say the least, throughout college football. And every time I sit down, whether it's – and mostly during Zoom calls with these head coaches, they just talk about the challenges of not knowing from week to week. Yeah, granted, you could say, like, hey, injuries happen all the time. Yes, but those same injuries are happening. And then all of a sudden on a Wednesday or a Thursday, you just lose three guys.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in football, right?
No.
Like, it does not happen. Guys don't vanish from your lineup. And so that is a major problem. It's one of the big reasons why, if you look last week at what was going on, like Vatek and their line and what was happening, you saw this team that a lot of people say, like, well, they're struggling on defense. Well, the reality was that their secondary specifically was ravaged by COVID isolations and quarantines. And once those kids started to come back, guess what? They started to play better defense. I was like, whoa, Virginia Tech got better. It's like, no. They didn't get better. They got healthy. They got out of isolation.
Yeah, they got cleared.
And I think that made it hard to evaluate and analyze football because you've got to not only look at injuries, but you've got to look at a lot of the COVID issues, and a lot of these teams aren't even publicizing them.
Joel, I want to ask you a big picture question that's starting to get a lot of run here in New York because of what might happen with the first overall pick with the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence, as I don't know if everybody knows this, but I mean, most people do, he can go back to Clemson if he wanted to next year. We saw Peyton do this Didn't want to go to the Jets organization, ironically. If you were, if he was your son or he, a relative, and you really had great you like access and you were advising him, and it's the Jets with the first overall pick, would you advise him to stay in school or no?
I would advise him to exercise any possible lever to keep him away from the Jets.
Manipulate the draft.
That sounds crazy.
Listen, no, go ahead.
I'm like, anybody draft me and pay me the amount of money.
Yeah.
But listen, you bring up a great point, and look at the players in the league. Guys, it matters where you go.
No doubt. Not
which pick you get. Yeah, that's great for your bank account. But for your career, for your second contract, for any longevity, it matters where you go. And this is one of the only industries in our country where we don't allow you to choose where you go and make a living. You know, so if you do have any leverage, and Lawrence certainly might, and might have more than many that we've seen in the past, I would exercise that leverage, you know, utilize that leverage. I certainly would want to see, because to be honest, I know Adam Gase, by the way, personally. He was the quality control coach in Detroit for my one camp in the NFL, right? So, like, he and I were the guys in the back of the in the back of the quarterback room, the slappies. Well, right?
Joel, was he as bad at that job as he is at this job? He's terrible.
He was really good. He was very good, and he got I think his big break clearly was when he was kept from the McDaniels staff onto the next staff at Denver, and then Elway lands Peyton Manning, sure. And then it's like boom, you know, like all of a sudden his career is kind of made. This has not been going well, but it hasn't been going well, I think, in several different facets. That roster is not ready to win.
That's not horrendous.
A Darnold problem. This is not certainly Gase is going to get a lot of the uproar, but let's be honest, it's not specifically his fault. Like, you don't get beat by the Dolphins, what was it, 24-0?
Yep. Yeah.
Unless you've got some, like, real issues throughout the roster and throughout the organization, which, back to the original point of the question, why wouldn't you, if you had leverage, exercise that leverage, utilize that leverage in order to find a different destination?
Gotcha. Joel, give us that website again before you go, my man. What's the website for the new product you have?
PassLab.com. Go check it out, man. It's a great device. Quarterbacks of all ages, you want to get better, use your eyes as a weapon and be a factor for wins. You go check this out, and you're going to love it.
I love it. And by the way, tell your boy Cowherd, his Blazing Fives are horrendous this year. I'm laughing at him. I'm absolutely destroying him. If he wants to do a little one-off for charity, tell him, tell him I'm ready to roll. He's got to pick it up. He's getting trounced.
I will do that, and anytime I can bludgeon him with anything, I'm going to use it.
I love it.
Nice, man. Thanks a lot, buddy. Good job, Joel. Good spot.
Thank you, Joel.
Have a good one, guys.
Be good, man.
You got it. Good. You know, he was a minor league baseball player, too. Did you know that, T?
Yeah, I did. I've met him a couple times at some of these college games. He's doing, obviously, the TV side, and I'm at the radio side, but he's a good dude. I think this weekend he ended up having to do West Virginia, Kansas, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he was at Oklahoma State. I feel like they were supposed to do Oklahoma State Baylor and it got canceled. And I'm trying to think, like, if you prepare all week to call a game and at the last minute you're like, all right, you're going to call this game instead.
That's tough.
Dude, how do you do that?
Especially for football. It's a different level of prep. Like, doing basketball games, I think you could probably work with fewer guys. But, no, it's a different diet for sure. So that was a good spot with Joel. We enjoyed that. The Bills and the Chiefs are on their way. Each team's had the ball. No points on the board yet. It's raining up there, so it looks like it's really soggy. Could be a low-scoring game. We'll see. But we'll come back. We'll get more into the Bills and you know, really expand on that part of the conversation where, like, if they didn't look good tonight, or conversely, if they had this great elevation and they play well, like, the Bills were still not really sure exactly who they are. Will we get an answer tonight? We'll talk about that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, get in on all the football action with DraftKings. That's right, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions, plural, millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. Draft your lineup, feel the sweat like never before. Every run, every pass, every catch means more with DraftKings. Hey, it's simple. Pick your lineup, okay? Stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing more than that. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Listen, I don't care if it's 10 bucks, 20 bucks. I mean, obviously, if you're betting big, whatever it might be, that's different. But listen, you have a little something invested in the game, have a little something invested in the roster. It's just a different watch. It's better. You can't say it's not better. It is. Now, it's not good when you lose, but you DraftKings, you don't lose. Well, you could, but hopefully you don't. And by the way, for anybody who's looking forward to the fight coming up this weekend, UFC 254, be sure to check out DraftKings MMA contest. Download the DraftKings app and use code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. That's Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. For a limited time, users, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. That's code Tierney. Get a free shot at millions of bucks in prizes with your first deposit. T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. Go get on. The app is easy to work, and it's only at DraftKings. Making it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. DraftKings.com. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227 here on Tiki and Tierney. It's 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. Keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. I mean, I still see a couple of the zeros on the board, but man, every time I look up in my office on the TV set, I see Josh Allen firing 150 yards downfield.
I know.
You have the volume. I had to record some stuff. There was a flag on that flea flicker.
I missed it, too. There was a flag on the flea flicker. It looked like it was pass interference.
In the end zone.
They must have picked up the flag, because when I came back to it, I just sat down and looked up at it again, and they were still at the same spot. So
okay, good, because I thought that... And I was, D-Cell probably heard me. I'm like, oh, that's a bang. I'm obviously recording stuff and I'm watching, but he can hear me through my mic. I'm like, that's a horrendous call. I thought it was played pretty well. So I think you're right. They did pick it up. And Josh Allen, just a bit of an errant throw there. It was 3rd and 7 for a first down. The Bills were moving a little bit. So now they'll try, looks like a 40-something yard, 48-yard field goal attempt. Zip, zip. We'll let you know what happens there. All right. So he made it. 3-0 Bills. The Buffalo Bills are... Give me a word to describe them. You could go in any direction. Give me a word to describe Buffalo.
They're still percolating. That's a good way to put it, because it's like you have that big pot of water. You stick it on the burner. It's kind of just percolating a little bit. It's not like bubbling yet. It feels like they've gotten so much closer to being that team because of Josh Allen's development. And we've talked about this many times, how he used his athletic ability as a runner to win games when he was young, and it gave him confidence. And over those, last two seasons in particular, his first season was a little bit of a struggle, but his last couple of seasons, he's been, becoming more of that traditional player while still utilizing all of that athletic ability that he has. So offensively, you look at them and they look completely different than they did a couple of years ago, but not quite yet. They're not quite that team that you're going to say, this team can win a Super Bowl. You're going to say this team is going to win a lot of football games. And given what's happened in the AFC East, they may even win the division and get to the playoffs. But I still think they're just percolating. They're not there yet. They can't sit back and say, yeah, we're here. We've arrived, because they're not there yet.
They're not there yet. And, let's face it, they came out of the chute and they drew a lot of attention. And and I've often characterized the Bills as a team that, I don't know if America roots for the Bills. I mean, they're certainly not America's team, but
no.
That's a huge understatement. Obviously not America's team, but they're still, I think, real football fans. I think even if you're out west 3,000 miles away, I think you look at the Bills, you say, you know what? If you're old enough, they went to 4 straight Super Bowls, never won. It's a tough, hardworking city. There's been some business that has boomed there. So I don't want to make it recently. I don't want to just make it like this blue-collar town. There's actually been some advancements up there in Buffalo, which is great to see. But I think the perception is, they're great fans, and that's an accurate one. And the weather's brutal, and, you're indoors 8 months out of the year, and they deserve
that's
better.
That's accurate, too.
That's accurate. And they deserve better. And I really felt the great energy with them this year, and I still do. I picked them to win the division. I'm not backing off now, certainly not. But I used the word earlier in the first hour of the show, the term or the word recalibrate, where really there's a lot of recalibrations on a week-to-week basis in the NFL. Like, I'll give you a good one. I thought the Niners were, I'm still not picking them to do anything this year, but I thought the Niners were done. Like, that's it. Too banged up. Division's mm-hmm. too good. You know, Rams are better than I thought. Rams will probably find a way to squeak one out this past last night. They didn't. So I've had to recalibrate a little bit. Okay, now how do you perceive the 49ers now? And contrasting that to, and it's obviously slightly higher than it was a week or two ago. And I'm doing the same with the Bills, but I think I'm going in a little bit of a different direction. This would sway me if they were to win or lose a very close, well-played game against Kansas City. But I'm with you. I just imagine them going against the Steelers defense or the Chiefs at Arrowhead if they had to go there. They're not there yet. That's true. I think that's very fair.
But they're coming.
And that's what
makes it interesting, because you like teams that do it the right way. You know what I mean? They do. They build with defense, and then they go get a quarterback, and they build some offensive line, you know, depth and consistency. And then all of a sudden it just works, right? So many teams struggle with making it when they're bad for as long as the Bills were bad.
Yeah.
And again, they made the playoffs one time with Tyrod Taylor, as we all remember, but that was like a blip on the radar, and then kind of went back to, you know, their lower mean. So it gets interesting when you see teams go through a plan and the plan actually works, because so many, you know, bad teams can't figure it out. And we know who they are. The Bills have pulled themselves out of that conversation, and they have a good quarterback who seems like a good kid, who is easy to like and root for.
Yeah, I just think some of the focus on Buffalo is going in the wrong direction. I understand it's a quarterback driven league. Mm-hmm. Quarterback's going to almost always win the MVP. Trevor Lawrence going first. What about this guy? What about that guy? Yeah. You know, I get it. Kirk Cousins contract. What do you do with Darnold? How's Daniel Jones look? What happened to Rodgers? Look at Tom Brady. How is Drew Brees? Is he still, you know, can he still play? Mahomes is the best. Allen's this. We always talk about quarterbacks. We want to see Tua play. Fitzmagic. But I think that really the answer to the Bills' question is deeper below the surface. Their defense, they're hurt.
They're a lot,
I know, but it's not what I anticipated it to be. Linebacker, there is a monster hole at that linebacker position. Multiple injuries.
Yeah.
Their defense is just, it could be problematic.
Yeah, and that's what's going to matter. We don't talk about linebackers like we used to, because it feels like it's all, you know, who gets after the passer. Let's talk about who's sacking the quarterback, the Khalil Macks and Myles Garrett of the world, TJ Watt, who we brought up earlier in the show. It's always like, who's getting after the quarterback? But the linebacker position has become almost forgotten, but its importance has grown significantly, because you got to be able to fill first and foremost and make stops, but now you got to cover. Mm-hmm. And if you're a liability in coverage, you just can't play. You can't be on the field. And so many teams, when they, you know, have injuries at linebacker, they're vulnerable. And teams like the Kansas City Chiefs will take advantage of it, or the 49ers, they will take significant advantage of it. The ranking of the Bills was, I was surprised. I hadn't looked at it in a while, and I felt like, man, they got to be top 10, you know, 12 maybe. They're like 19.
I was going to say 18 or 19.
Yeah. They're middling. Uh-huh. So maybe that's just circumstances, you know, some of the teams that they played. I know they had a little bit of a shootout with the Rams. They won that game. Obviously, Tennessee went bonkers on them, even though Tennessee didn't put up that many yards. They scored 42 points. I think it's one of those, they're still percolating, man. They're still just kind of waiting to boil. They're not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm. And the Chiefs just went down and sliced them. We'll get the update here from Bob Hughes, who's going to give you the update, give you the details. But they just went down the field pretty fast after an early field goal by Buffalo. So the Chiefs are doing a little something. We've got the update from Bob. After that, Tegan and I will come back and hit the blast. And that's next. Hughes, so right now, update time. Time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Tiki and Tierney. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's see what's shaking with this one. And let's see, you know, we could do that. Let's go out to Nashville. Bob wants to know, Bob says, you know, Derrick Henry was unreal yesterday. He's been unreal for sure. Is he hands down the best running back in the NFL right now?
Hmm.
Teak?
Well, He doesn't do all that dynamic stuff like catching the ball out of the backfield as a wide receiver. He doesn't do that. But in a traditional sense and in a productivity sense and as a importance to his teams, yeah, he is the best running back in the NFL. And I have him in my MVP conversation as well, BT. We all remember last year he led the league in rushing with 1,560-something yards. And this year he's leading the league in rushing with over 580 yards, including that game winner yesterday after they let up a little bit of that lead. He is dominant because he gives it to you every facet of the situation. So first quarter, second quarter.
Yep.
Most importantly, when you got to win, you need to stay on it. He can take it to the house. So
he's unstoppable.
I love that guy.
He is tremendous. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Bills and Chiefs obviously playing now. Bills right around midfield.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen just converted a little keeper on the right side, lowered the pads, and got an extra 2 or 3 yards. He got it.
Yeah, he's having a little bit of a rough day. 3 of 10.
It's also raining pretty hard out there, to be fair to Josh.
Yeah. This is not his it's not going to be good for him throwing the football. But does so many other things. Well, you know what I mean? Because he's such a good athlete. He's big, too.
Oh, he's huge. There's no doubt. The thing that I want to say about Derrick Henry, too, before we get to the blast, is that, you know, you talk about his regular season last year. The records he set in the playoffs.
Oh, dude, he literally carried them. Like, picked up, get on my back, let's go.
Yeah, and then just to pick up, you know, right away, it really is remarkable. Boy, there's nobody like him that we've ever seen.
He runs away from, BT, on that 94-yard touchdown,
yeah,
he was running away from DBs.
I know.
You know, he's
and it wasn't really even
what
close.
What is he, 6'4", 6'5"?
6'4",
250 pounds. The linebacker hadn't. Once he cleared the linebacker, I was like, yeah, you might as well just stop. You have no chance. But when the DB couldn't catch him, he didn't get to him until he slowed down when he got into the end zone. It's like, are you kidding me?
I mean, what does he hit at top-level speed?
I don't know. They didn't do the next-gen stats. They should have on that run, but I mean,
is he 20? 19?
It's got to be over 20. It's got to be, BT. He ran away from deep from a DB. You know what I mean?
Maybe the
DB was tired. You know what? Who knows? Like, he came from, I don't know. Who knows?
But there was a couple of them.
I know.
That was.
And we've seen that multiple times, BT. Like, these 50-yard touchdowns and the 2-minute drills, you know, it's third and two.
Yeah.
We got to get first down. When game's over, he goes 50 yards for a touchdown. You've seen that at least 5 times.
Yeah. Well, think about how he won the rushing title last year on that long play,
run. Exactly
right. He's a beast. All right, T, you ready for a little blast? See what we got?
Yep. Let's do it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, let's get a dub for the interim head coach. Raheem Morris got a win. First game for the Falcons. Led them over the Vikings. They smoked them 40-23. But Arthur Blank, you might recall, last week implied really Morris would pretty much have to go undefeated to get the job full time. What does he need to do to get the gig?
Just win. Get into the postseason, galvanize his team, hold them together for an entire game. And again, I don't know if Raheem's going to, get that job, but if he takes him to the postseason after the way they started, he at least deserves some consideration. He'll certainly interview for it, regardless of what happens this season. The question will be who Arthur Blank ultimately will tab to. They're not going to go through a rebuild, but things are going to change because we already heard the uncertainty about his commitment to Matt Ryan, which when you change quarterbacks, lots going to change if you decide to change a quarterback that's been there for 13 years.
Raheem Morris is not coaching this team next year. I don't think he's getting this job. I don't know which direction Arthur Blank's going to go, but I think he's going to go big game hunting.
Hmm.
I think he is.
McKay is not really that way.
Okay.
Rich is the president. Obviously, and he was down in Tampa previously. I don't know if that's Rich McKay's MO.
No, we'll see. And here's the other thing, though. The defense is not going to hold up enough for Raheem to get the wins that it's going to take to get a real look at the job.
True.
I still think they're going to have some meltdowns, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to think of this Falcon. The more I think about it, I didn't think they'd be 0-5. I didn't think they'd be 5-0. I didn't think I wouldn't have brought back Dan Quinn last year. So I don't really know what to think about this team. But I do not think Morris is coaching this team next year. All right. After yesterday's 24-0 to the loss to the Dolphins yesterday. The Jets remain, I just read it because it's in front of me, the only winless team in the NFL and are on pace for an NFL record of minus 293 point differential, which, by the way, would eclipse the mark, the standard, set forth by the 76 Buccaneers, which is the worst team of all time.
Yeah, they had the excuse of being an expansion team.
Of course. yes, I'm well aware. Will it do more damage to the Jets to keep Gase for the rest of the season than to fire him now? I've gone back and forth on this. I did tweet yesterday, as a paraphrase. I take no pleasure in, you know, in speaking this directly about somebody's job, but Adam Gase should not be in the building this morning, meaning this morning. Of course, he is back in the building this morning, but the problem is that I don't know who would even take over. Greg Williams is sniping at the offense. Mm-hmm. Greg Williams is in his own world. He's a very unique figure. You either love him or you hate him, but there's a lot of ego there, and I don't think he would be good for whatever they're trying to accomplish the rest of the way, which is probably get one final read on Sam Darnold when you actually have Denzel Mims and Perryman and Crowder play. He's obviously going to be fired. I would have fired him last night. They looked like an expansion team. But Teague, the Johnsons, they're in a football coma. No idea what the hell they're thinking.
Did I text this to you? Was this in our Slack chain?
Maybe it was a text.
I can't remember now. But talking about the Jets, I was like, you know what they need? Maybe it was with my buddy Mike and Berkowitz. I say they need to fire Gase right now at halftime. Let Greg Williams, you know, take over for the second half, and then fire him as he's walking off the field. And then have Frank Gore be the head coach.
Frank Gore.
I mean, at least he had some fire after the game. You listen to Gase, he's kind of like, yes.
Yep.
Yes, to answer the question, it is doing more damage to keep him around, because what we talked about with Joel Klatt is real. If Trevor Lawrence is looking at this team and they're like, and they're going to draft him, no, I don't want that.
Well, but by the time the draft rolls around anyway, you would have a new coach, and maybe it's somebody impressive.
Yes, but if you are Trevor Lawrence or his people, these conversations are happening already.
No question.
You know this happens, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He does not deserve to be a coach in the NFL.
No.
Right? He just doesn't deserve it.
No.
Kentucky upset Tennessee. Is it a huge upset? I think it's a huge upset.
No, it's not a huge upset.
It's not.
The quarterback for Tennessee is having some serious issues.
It's been a while. It's been a problem for a while in Knoxville. 34-7 the final. That was the Vols' second straight loss, with Alabama looming next weekend. Mm-hmm. So we had a little early energy for Jeremy Pruitt, but here we are, year three. Do we believe he's got the program where it should be?
I mean, they've made progress. Don't forget, they were horrendous for a couple of seasons, and now they're making their way back. They moved into the top 15. A lot of that's because obviously the Big Ten and the Pac-12 aren't playing, so those teams aren't being evaluated. But their quarterback, Garantino, I think his name, he's a turnover machine. And that's why Kentucky had, I think, two turnovers that went for pick sixes and in like 3 minutes. It's like, of course you're not going to win games like that. They have a quarterback issue, and it takes time when you're a new head coach, trying to bring one of those, those Saban Jedi mind tricks to recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
That means like paying them. it takes some time to get the guys to commit to you. I think he's still the right guy for Tennessee. They're going through some growing pains right now with their quarterback.
He's the best I've seen yet. He's the one that, during this malaise, this Tennessee
malaise. That's a
great point.
That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, there's sparks, there's flickers, there's optimism, there's real reason for hope, there's tangible things you can point to rather than, just kind of hoping and wishing that it could return to the glory days. There are seeds that are planted, and problem is, after some early rain and some growth and some sun, looks like a drought's kind of hit the program.
Yep.
And once that perception kicks into year three, it becomes problematic. I'm not going to say that he's not the guy, but he just got blitzed by Kentucky. I know Kentucky's a decent program. I understand that. That's not Kentucky like they used to be. I'm well aware of that.
Yep.
But if you want to get back to being Tennessee, you can't lose 34-7 to Kentucky, period. Yep. All right, the Knicks reportedly considering a banana boat team up where they would trade for CP3 and bring back Carmelo to the Big Apple. What's our thoughts? Well, we've talked about CP3 a lot, and, especially if they were to draft a point guard and where they are in the eighth spot, they might. Not LaMelo, he won't be there. But If you draft a point guard, or if you keep Neal Akita or Dennis Smith, one of these, whatever, I think will be good for their growth. If they could even, if it even matters, yeah. Carmelo, it would be such a cheap contract. I don't really care, and he seems to be in a different place. I would have been vehemently against this for a long time a year ago. At this point, I don't think Carmelo would damage the Knicks. A year ago, I think he would have.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it would be good for Knicks fans to have someone that they revere and cheer for. But also, more importantly, with CP3, have a guy who kind of, he elevated Oklahoma City last season.
That's right.
And so if he can get even a fraction of that for New York and bring some excitement and accountability and development for some of these young players on this team, I think it would be great for New York. And again, it's a bridge. Right, you know, you're not going to get the difference maker this season. You hope that you find a way to do it next season, or a free agent finally decides to come. Yeah. But you can't just be a bottom dweller continually. And if you keep losing, it just becomes what you're known as.
No, you need to have kid. You draft somebody like R.J. Barrett. He's got to play with somebody who knows how to play the game.
Yeah,
to see if you drafted the right guy.
That's right.
You know. All right, Mike Kild out as president of baseball operations with the Marlins after 19 years. So we wonder, is the timing a little questionable here by Jeter, considering this year was Miami's first playoff appearance since 2003? I mean, you know, I don't know. I'd be lying if I said I knew what Mike Kild did. I don't. But I'm going to say a little surprisingly that at this point, Derek Jeter has earned the right to now shape the Marlins without any sort of, you know, real criticism. Early on, he got rid of these, you know, a fan-friendly guy. This guy used to play for the team. He's out. This broadcaster. They made the playoffs. He got rid of Giancarlo Stanton's contract. I mean, Jeter's actually doing better than I thought he would do. So, I don't know Mike Kill, but at this point, you got to trust in Jeter a little bit if you're a Marlins fan.
No, I agree with you, BT. Again, I don't know Mike Kill enough to know how important he was to that organization, but I do know that you know, the guys are playing, and Donnie Baseball is doing a heck of a job down
my
there.
My boy, Donnie.
Yeah, he's got to call it spade a spade,
love
man.
Him.
And look, they overachieved this year. Now let's see if they carry that on. And I agree with Derek. It was painful, and they knew that they had to strip it down. I mean, Super Bowl down in Miami. I remember I saw him at an event, a Rayos event, and asked him how it was going. He's like, it's a process, right? It's a process of stripping down.
That's all he says anyway.
I know, but still, but he's right. You know what I mean? And it was painful, but he did it, and it worked.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
You're going to laugh. I know the show's over, but I can say something that I've never said, certainly in the 8 years that we've worked together.
What's
you ready?
That? Go ahead.
18 holes, one ball.
I saw that
Saturday
on social media. That's impressive, man.
One ball.
That is impressive.
There was one really close call. I did find it.
Was there a lot of water or no?
No, it's my home course. It's only like one hole is over.
Oh, there you go. There you
I
go.
Couldn't believe it, dude. Now, I took a mulligan, so everyone's like, well, what'd you shoot? And I'm like, I can't write what I wrote
because
I took a mulligan and it was really like a four-shot.
Dude, that doesn't matter.
Oh, no, I was pumped, man.
You
I
didn't go through a sleeve and a half.
No, and I bought a dozen before I played,
nice.
I only used one. Touchdown, Josh Allen. Beautiful throw in the back of the end zone. Long pass interference on Stephon Diggs. Brought to the one. Bills score 10-7. They're on top of Kansas City. I got Dallas tonight. I got Dallas. You know, I think Dallas is going to play well. How about you?
I do too. Again, we talked about this earlier in the week. Andy Dalton, I think he's going to be good for them.
A lot of people fade him in primetime. I'm not doing that tonight. I think they've got some weapons. We'll see. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Safe, sensible, sane. We'll see you. Be well.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.